There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Hey there, this is the Mighty Manfred in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and I've got a throwback coolest conversations for you, presented by Hard Rock. And it takes us to September the 6th, just a couple of weeks back, and it features me speaking with Tom Overby as my guest. Tom is the husband of Lucinda Williams, and the two together are responsible for producing Jesse Malin's album Sunset Kids, which was home to that week's coolest song in the world, Shining Down. So let's hear some of that, and then me chatting with Tom Overby on your coolest conversations throwback.
Just dancing on the cake and some cold heartbreak. Sentimental kids, movies in our heads. We never figured out why she had to go. Keep on shining down my life. Keep on shining down me.
Mighty Manfred here, and it's time for your coolest conversations. And joining me today is Tom Overby. He is Lucinda Williams' husband and manager, and together the both have produced the new Jesse Malin album, Sunset Kids. How are you, Tom?
Good, good.
Well, yep. Whether you have a sweet tooth or not, I don't know, but I've read that you have a silver one. Do you have a silver tooth?
Yes, I do. Yes,
now, how'd you get that?
Well, it was back when I was a kid. It was Christmas Day. I went out to the garage to get something. My mom asked me to go out to the car in the garage and get something. And I had, I grew up in Minnesota, so I had snow boots on. And the door slammed shut on the untied boot. And I went face first down on the garage and was out cold for a while. And when I woke up, there was my tooth laying on the garage floor. So,
and that tooth fairy brought you silver. That's way better.
Yep.
Quarter, man.
Yep.
You mentioned Minnesota there. I know you and Lucinda married in Minneapolis in 2009. So is this the anniversary year?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It'll be 10 in about a month.
Any special plans for the day?
Well, we will be on tour at that time. I think we'll be, let's see, where was September 18th? We'll be, I don't know, that might be Portland, Maine, maybe. I'd have to look at the schedule. Somewhere up in the Northeast.
Well, congratulations in advance, if I don't speak to
you
that day. So I know that you've been a manager, and at least that long, you've also been working together, producing her albums like Little Honey and Blessed, Down Where the Spirit Meets the Bone, The Ghosts of Highway 20. Mm-hmm. And now you've worked together on producing Jesse's new album, Sunset Kids. Is he the first artist you two have produced together, or have there been others?
Nope, this would be the first. I mean, it's something we've talked about doing in the past, but just the right opportunity, it didn't present itself yet. So we were actually really surprised. It was like 2 years ago, and Lucinda had just played the last three shows opening. She opened for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, their final three shows at the Hollywood Bowl. And a couple nights later, we met Jesse and his manager for dinner, and just out of the blue, Jesse's like, hey, how would you guys like to produce my next record? And Lou and I were like, well, sure, you know, that sounds great. Then that was it. You know, we were off to the races.
Very cool. I was going to say that playing a band called The Woggles, and we had played on a bill with Lucinda and Jesse at the Count Basie Theater, and that was in Red Bank, New Jersey. That was October of 2017. So you guys had already been you had already spoken about the project, and it was a done deal by then, right?
Yes, I think it would have been like just a couple of weeks before that or a month before that or so, give or take.
Well, when and where did you record the album?
We started it in L.A., where Lou and I live,
okay.
At Dave's room with the guy we had been working with, David mm-hmm. Bianco, who sadly we lost last year. But eventually it ended up, Jesse had a couple different studios in New York, one in Williamsburg. And so that's basically where it was finished, in New York.
I was wondering, how did your and Lucinda's working style mesh with Jesse's? I know she was raised primarily in the South, and thinking, you know, up in Minnesota, my guess would be things would be similar to the South in the sense of a more laid-back attitude to things. Was there like a laid-back thing meets New York City thing, or how did things mesh?
Yeah, I guess kind of. I mean, you know, we've lived in Los Angeles for 15 years, and she lived there before in the 80s. So she's still obviously very much a Southern girl, but in her heart, she's a rocker, you know. And uh-huh. I think it kind of all of us have a real passion for great music and. So it was really a pretty seamless match, you know.
Well, you've got a rapport, of course, with Lucinda. You know how to work with her to get the best out of her performance-wise. Was there ever a moment working with Jesse where you realized, you know, what you normally would do with Lucinda wasn't right for him, and you had to figure out a different way to work?
Not really. No, they kind of work pretty similar, you know, like when Lucinda records, she records in the studio live with the band. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesse pretty much does it that way too. So yeah, it's very similar. Actually, it was pretty easy in that aspect.
So there are 14 songs on the album, a couple of which we've already featured in the Underground Garage. But this week's coolest song in the world is Shining Down. Do you recall anything specific about working on that track with Jesse?
Yeah, I do. I remember, I told him pretty early. I said I thought it was a very strong single type. Mm-hmm. song, you know, that it just had a great kind of summertime vibe to it. And I kind of remember, like, he had some other instruments on it, and I said, man, your right hand on the acoustic guitar is a great rhythm. That should kind of stand out a little better, you mm-hmm. know. And so we ended up doing that kind of, so it gives it a really urgent rhythm, you know. So it worked great. If I recall, he liked that idea, you know.
Another track on the album is titled When You're Young, and I was wondering if there was anything in Lucinda and Jesse's background, things that had happened to them growing up that they were able to bond over.
I don't know if they, again, I think it comes back to music, but now that you point that out, I mean, the interesting thing about both of them is they, you know, I've noticed it with Jesse, and definitely noticed it with Lucinda, that she writes a lot about her childhood and in different ways, you know, mm-hmm. like her song Cartwheels on a Gravel Road is about, you know, she tells a story about playing it very early in when she first wrote it, and her dad was in the audience, came back after and said, "Oh, honey, I'm sorry." And she goes, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well," he goes, that little girl in the back seat, a little bit of dirt mixed with tears, that's you." And she goes, "Oh, wow, I never really realized that I wrote it that way," you know?
Yeah.
And I've noticed that Jesse really writes about a lot about being younger, and he kind of, I'm trying to think of the way to say it, kind of like loves the kind of, you know, the crazy youth or a rock youth that we kind of all lived at some point. You know, being in a band and, you know, rolling around the world. And
well, right.
He writes a lot about that kind of, you know, from his youth too. You know?
From his, I guess, his days as the he was a front man, a D-Generation back there.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking that was back in the 90s, back in the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So the album kicks off with Meet Me at the End of the World Again. And now that's a song he had done not too long ago. And now it's re-recorded, you know, Meet Me at the End of the World Again, the again being the new part mm-hmm. there. Were you familiar with that? He had already done that track?
And, oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
we discussed it, yeah.
Why did you guys decide to redo it?
Well, it was, I guess, given current events and everything that have, you know, remained in the front page news, I think he felt like he could do it a lot better. And, you know, it was only on an EP, and he kind of felt that that didn't really get out and get the notice it should have. So, you know, I followed, I thought, well, that made sense. And the song fit with the group of songs that we had now really nicely. So, you know, so it made sense. He did get a really good new version of it, I think. You know, he did beat the other one.
Oh, I think so, too. I think so, too.
Yeah.
So Strangers and Thieves, that that's one on the new long player. Jesse wrote that with Billy Joe Armstrong, and Billy Joe sings some backing vocals on it. Now, and I know that you're singing backing vocal or singing on some of them. What are the ones that, that Jesse wrote with Lucinda on the album, right?
Well, the main one was Room 13.
Okay.
And I believe. And then there was, she actually wrote some of the lines in Dead On also. There were a couple other little things she did on a couple others, but the main one that she really kind of co-wrote was Room 13.
And how did that come together? And
Jesse, well, after he had asked us to produce, and he came back out to L.A. and came into our house, and we just started going through the songs and, one by one, and we just kind of look at some of the lines, and Lou's like, hey, this song, I mean, the melody was really good, and the idea of the rough idea of the song was really good. But she's like, man, the lyrics, it's got to maybe tell a little more of a story about the guy in the room, you know? So they kind of scrapped a lot of, Jesse had a whole bunch of verses to that. And it was very kind of Dylan-esque in that a lot of it was just sort of wordplay, you know? So it was like, no, we got to make it more of a story. So they worked a lot on that one for at the house for quite a while.
Well, how about then with the other tracks? Was there any arrangement changes that after he had sort of presented the songs that you guys went back and did some other changing around on, or was the way he presented them pretty much as they were recorded?
We, for the most part, stayed pretty faithful to his original. There was, I'm sure, there was a couple things I'm sure we, you know, added a solo or took a solo out, or, you know, if there was too many or whatever, you know, there was some of that. One of the big changes that we tried was I suggested, you know, I was a huge D-Generation fan, so I was familiar with Jesse from way back. And I suggested, I know that Jesse, I said, you sing different, you know, with D-Generation than you sing on these kinds of songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggested, like, lowering the keys on some of them because of the difference in the way he sang. And and we did that, and he really, really liked that because it gave a different timbre to his voice, you know, and I think it really improved his voice that way.
Well, I agree.
That was one of the bigger changes that we came up with.
You know, you mentioned this tune, and I want us to go out on it in a moment. It's Dead On. Now, that was another that Lucinda added some lines to, wrote some lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're trading lyrics back and forth. Now, that one started as a Jesse idea then?
Yeah, it did. But that one, there again, she thought, I can, especially once she knew she was going to sing on it, she's like, well, I can, let me write some lines that I can sing that'll fit into the song. That one they worked on actually at the studio in LA. They went in the back room and kind of sat with guitar and went through it because she was getting ready to sing. She's like, no, I got these lines, and Jesse really liked them. So it really improved probably the female character of part of the song. So
I have to say
that came out really well.
Yeah, I think so too. In fact, my out of the tracks that I'm, you know, that's my favorite Dead On is. Tom, thanks so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Sure.
Well, let's
Great.
Give a
Thank
listen.
Thank you for having me.
You're certainly welcome. Let's give a listen now to Dead On. It's off Jesse Malin's new album, Sunset Kids, right here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Change the game. down dresses in your southern rose, playing Salvation Army combat boots. All the boys are thinking they're in luck. Down at the bar, hoping you'll show up.
Will you come around? I wanna sit on my lap. You're a nervous breakdown waiting to happen. Dead on. I'm dead on. I ain't gonna be destroyed. Find yourself another boy. 'Cause baby, I'm at the door. I'm dead on.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.